Well, thanks for that you're here this morning. Thank you for being here. Luke chapter 20. I'll turn there myself. You might know we've only got a few chapters left in the book. We've already done chapter 34, that was the first. Couple left, and then we're going to move on to a new study. I remember my first church was a Newport Community Church. You can still go there today, north of Monroe. And I was there for 3 years as a pastor back in the 70s. And I was leaving to go to seminary, and on my way to the seminary, one of my college buddies graduated with me, named Roger Adams. And so I talked to Roger about being powerful, and I left. And it all worked out. I remember he said, my goal is to preach to all cities. And so I thought, I would love to find out what Roger is doing. I have no idea if he would do that like that. I think that's a lot of information and a lot of serious things. Now, I can't get the name here. I don't think anybody ever gets the Nahum. I think it's the most important book in the Bible. Has anybody ever heard a series on Nahum? Be honest. But you know what? Maybe they're supposed to do this. I don't know. I just like jump to the end. I like to do that in books. Jump to the end. First of all, like you're writing your Bible, I hope it is. You'll see that there are three questions that are asked. Basically, that's kind of the correct message for us. First one is, tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority? Of course, Jesus is right. And then in verse 22, scribes and chief priests, they take their hand at it and they ask us, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? It's one of those questions that was Jesus said, no, it's not. But, and then the third question is in verse 41. How is it Jesus asked this question? How is it that he saved Christ through this?
Oh, I missed the third
one. He's resurrected as a Christ. This is the Sadducees. So we have the chief priests, scribes, and the elders, and we have the scribes and chief priests, and we have the Sadducees asking this question, which is the answer. And then Jesus concludes on the question, so how is it that he saved Christ? What we have in this chapter, before we get into it, is information for Theophilus to understand as it relates to Jesus' authority. And Theophilus is the person who's the recipient of this book. Give us background. During this Q&A, Theophilus is confirmed with this proclaiming Jesus is Lord.
It's not proclaiming Jesus is Lord.
It's aligning the authority.
It's not following Jesus.
And if there are people who can say about those who are not Jesus, he was teaching the disciples, preaching the gospel. He was gospeling, literally what it says, he was teaching the gospel. While he was doing this, he was punished by religious leaders. Now, religious authorities, they understand it's all different. We are always sensitive to anyone who threatens authority. Most of the church history is about two positions, it's the grace of God. In other words, who can consider all the masses of Jesus? Most of your victory words and arguments are about that. So what Jesus is doing is he's keeping the public in the temple, he's gospeling, he's bringing through the They want to specifically know who has given them this authority. Notice they ask people, they just tell us what authority you're giving Jesus. Or, who is the one who gave you this authority? The freaking temple, and the specifically the temple of grace. Who are you under? Now, I'm not mentioning before, but also, Jesus is on your grace. And on the And you have Jesus pretty upset about it. You came right back at him. Authority. Who's got the power? Who's got the say? He told us by the way that he proved to us that Jesus was not a citizen, not an ally. He wasn't a part of the inside operation. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been answered that question. So if Jesus operates outside of any system or organization, he was not a Pharisee, he was not a Sadducee, he was not a priest, he was not an elder. He never held a position in any organization. He never even started one. He operated under God's authority, and I'm going to suggest that that probably the best way for all of us. I'm going to have an impact on you. If we come branded and labeled by some organization or denomination, you know, expect that the people will tie you to our labels and you won't listen to what we have to say. Jesus' authority and challenge is always respected. He did have authority from God. He knows it. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. But that's what they expected to hear from him. And then they could just counter by saying, well, what should organization recognize your authority to do such a thing? So instead, they have no questions for the priest. I'm going to ask you a question, and you tell me. Was the baptism of God or from men? Jesus is starting this question. John had gotten the authority from God, and apparently they had gotten their authority from men from God. And they're afraid to answer the question of this inspiration, they were afraid to answer the question because they were this rule of this people living here, they're only supposed to say what the people of here.
Yes,
reminds me of what Paul says to people are at the end time going to want to hear teachers that scratch their ears. Now, facing this dilemma, there's no good public way to opt out of their situation. So they feign ignorance of the gospel, verse 7. And they did not know where Jesus said.
Well, I'm not going to answer
I think we can walk away from so far from that message and realize that Jesus occurs with all these challenges.
It's challenging that this is true.
We can also say that the Lord does not correct us. In this case, Jesus is bringing the revelation to back to himself. But we also have the Word of God left for us.
There is no hope.
But Jesus is already in hell. He addresses that hell. Then I for a long time. In essence, what we have here as a problem with collective authority is Jesus told this parable to the vineyard owner who represents God. And he rented out the vineyard, which represents the work of God on earth by the sun. The vine grove, that would be Israel and its leaders of the first man. How would Israel and their leaders do it if the work of God on earth? But when the owner sent the slave, multiple hands, the slave would have represented the most costly God. And he wanted to collect some of that. But notice, these times of sad slaves are misused. He confines them. They didn't want to be reminded at all of who were the leaders. So they felt like they were being sacked. The God said they prophesied out of God. So God
passed. And my Lord thoughts is the cross. So they're helpful now. They're flowers.
Jesus points here that he wants to kill, he's the one who wants to kill, and the Jesus. That's what is going to do upon our lost is to
conquer
others. So Jesus is stating that he will come with judgment and he will destroy these vine growers, Israel and their servants, and take the vineyard to others. Which has a reference to the apostles who would start the church. This refers Jesus in this parable actually to his first coming, not his second coming, but his first coming. Vine growers are Israel, and the others are the church, which includes Gentiles. Now, notice the Jewish people understood this. Notice how they conquered. And when they heard it, they said, may it never be. No way. This isn't going to happen. By the way, this is also the thing that we have to use. Remember the story of the town and they wanted to throw him off the cliff, their own hometown sign, because he told them that God was creating. Jesus counters their explanation for that. Jesus says, I'm the rejected stone. Who's going to become the cornerstone, the actual stone of stumbling over my own gate, which will eventually crush. To quote that, verse 17, the stone that the builders rejected is the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken in pieces, but I remember it falls. It was scattered and left us.
Jesus made these things. This is the surprise of the people. And it is important to ask the church.
Everyone will have a day of rest.
So,
His authority is reserved. He has no rival. The mind uses his servant. He is a conscience. Jesus' authority is something we direct. Finding us in the rest of our lives. Last week we saw the parables of Solomon's I'm not going to say for a while that next week in the paragraph cities, I know that's true. I know it's true. Because he is very confused. He falls. Talk about Solomon. Think about these things. Let's do some words. It's like, well, he struts and he's hurt and propaganda of demonic God is the Jesus is the English community is a curse. Peter was not a curse. You can do that if you're a parable. The mighty authority of Jesus is not Jesus. You're the second. Instead, recognize Jesus as your father. There is an alternative. Call us. Jesus to incriminate himself. Verse 20. they weren't taking it from state, but delivering him up to the rule and authority of the governor, so they questioned him again in verse 26, and they were unable to catch him. Catch him. Catch him. Never get caught up in catch him.
He had to set up.
In other words, you got all this intrigue going on. These dissenters, these hypocrites, and they thought Pharisees. And anyway, the paying tax of Rome was against the Mosaic law.
They didn't say anything to the Lord.
And they were forcing Jesus to have the sign to decide to pay the law to Israel or Rome.
Now Jesus decided to illustrate their claims.
And so he asked for a point in the whole story. Probably one of the greatest statements that people who don't know the Bible pronounce. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. It's one of those riveting moments that really So he answered the coin saying, we should give God the things that are God's. Now, of course, everything. That's everything. But Jesus here identifies what is God's and what is Caesar's. And it needs to come from the image on the coin. He's not telling them to give all of their possessions to God. What he's telling them is to give themselves to God because God in his time. Give themselves to God. They wanted to do it in front of the people because they wanted to have credibility in front of the people that spread it to Jesus and it didn't happen. So what do? They marveled at his answer to each time. I don't think it says they're basically going to go in the background for a while until they discover another way to attack him, alright? This isn't acquiescence. This is outward. Jesus really had a mission to make a purpose. He's not ignorant. So, when we think about Jesus' story, aligning it for the purpose of avoiding it, how good is it? Jesus' story. Recognizing Jesus' story is fitting to be a natural result. Here's the final thought. Jesus' authority extends to eternal matters. It is eternal nature. If you think Jesus, you think you have an enemy, he has enemies in your office. He has some haters here. You don't have enemies too. So in verses 27-40, which begins, then pick up the speed and relentlessly confuse Jesus' word. And beginning in verse 27, notice it comes on the scene. The Sadducees, the Savior's will of resurrection, and question again. So I think what happened, look at verse 26, the scribes and chief priests marvelous. I think what's happening here is they decide to get the Sadducees in their position. All they're saying is there's the Sadducees for everything. They decide for them. They were two different religious Jewish sects in the nation. So they had two different they get described as the Pharisees for the Sadducees. I cannot add that. Nothing like Jesus being common enemy of all the other enemies of each other. They're going to pile on. And so the Sadducees are going to match. So if they don't meet the Reverend, so they confront the story of his brother. All seven died, leaving no children, and then she dies off. So the resurrection is written for the blood that she is. It's pretty cool of that. And Jesus said very something very interesting. He said, the sons of this age carry her in and her, those who are worthy to attain this age in resurrection from the dead, neither Mary nor given in marriage. She says, because marriage is for this life and ends at death. Secondly, he says, the believers are resurrected, he says that twice, and once they're resurrected, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Verse 5, so there's no marriage in heaven. But earthly, not heaven. Third, he says, believers in heaven do not even die anymore. He says they're like angels, verse 6, in that they're no longer mortal. They won't become angels, we're human beings in eternity, but we're like angels in the sense that we're now immortal. We're no longer experience death. And then Jesus uses Exodus 26, verse 37, but that the dead are raised, even Moses showed, asked Jesus a question about it, and I said, he knows he's not right. So Jesus thought, oh, wow, I'll deal with that issue right now, dude. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed, that the man thought the burning bush, where he calls the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. We're all living now. Jesus' point here is that the patriarch, we're alive after death. Because God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. In other words, Jesus is true. His scripture is exactly, literally, verbally, inerrant. Out here. And theological and truthful conclusion on the surface of the text. They did not have courage to question the father's finding its authority, and the hope of avoiding accountability. Instead of recognizing it and submitting to it. So Jesus pulled out all the stops and said, listen, my authority is genuine and even stands to be called. So he solidifies that authority in verse 49. Instead of the powers of the day, David himself in the song, the Lord said, my hope is Jesus is making a very simple point. How is it that David in Psalms, in all the descendants of his, who will be one of the sons, the answer, Jesus, as a descendant of David, transcends David. And how? David was able to look down the corridors of his posterity, recognize somebody his posterity would rise higher than him, transcend him as he of Israel.
As the epoch of the heritage of the nation of Israel. That somebody would rise in his name, and Jesus is making the claim that he is that one. And that's how Jesus can be Lord and Messiah. As he is the one who is responsible for salvation, and he is the one who is coming to fulfill the mission of God from heaven. In other words, Jesus is prepared for all the year. Chief priests, religious leaders, saints, elders, Pharisees, for everybody to hear that my authority is absolute and eternal. That's it. Enough said. Even King David on it. Now, Jesus proved it. He did a flat out statement that his authority is chosen. That is his authority. Jesus was the Jesus of Jesus. Sign grace and facts. It says this purpose is to be heirs. Now, this purpose, our decision is that Jesus came under the belief that Jesus has purpose for us. No matter what the religious leaders say, no matter how powerful they become, no matter how much they conflict the message of Christ, beware of the scribes, the household system, beware of the earthly things, and they might walk around in long rows. Secondly, they love respectful things, smart things, that is, they must recognize. Third, they love the sheep, seeds, and gods. Fourth, they love places of honor and angels. Fifth, they devour widows' houses. Houses prefer that. Finally, Jesus says to a Pharisee, one who is concerned with religion, not by their knowledge of God, but by their works. What does he say about them in verse 24? These will receive greater things. The point here is not to see there is no place for them which God is not impressed with. I think we have to look very, very at each person. We get into the universe. We think of all the things that follow. Somehow I can get things through. Somehow I can be somehow. This Jesus is able to receive that there are various degrees of sin. There are different punishments for us. Greater condemnation. So the next time you think about Jesus, you're going to hear all about his authority. People are going to hear any Jesus and say, Jesus. You cannot rely on the authority of Jesus. This is a way of funds to avoid. Instead, recognize that it's a bit to it. Jesus himself said, my authority extends into eternity. Beyond the person. Father, help us understand
the existing hearts, so that my willingness to submit to the church, even if it's hard for my faith.
And yet you've made it very, very clear. Jesus is
that the word doesn't change.
That exactly. As we tell people about Jesus, it's not the word.
In the trust that if we read the word of God, we see God in Jesus. That in Europe, people must be willing to accept these people. Be willing to live with me for their living lives.
Yes.